Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
And the internet.
We are on the radio and we're on the internet.
So confident about it, the internet.
Yes. So all of our episodes have been uploaded to the UMFM website. So if you want to hear any of our back episodes, they are available, going all the way back to March and beyond.
Oh.
I did do a good update
fairly recently. There you go.
All right, so yeah, on this particular show, we talk about video games. My name's Megan.
My name's Alice.
And yeah, that is our hobby, is we talk video games, we play video games, we complain about video games,
yeah.
We love them, and we breathe them.
Yeah, and I think there's, like, things that we want to do with this, with our talking about video games going forward. I would like to, like, reinstate that we should continue with the Black Lives Matter movement. We should continue speaking about it, educating. And I think for us, our best way to use the platform is to sort of be a little more unapologetic with talking about things we see in video games, because there's a lot of it. And there's things that we just sort of, I personally haven't talked about just because I feel that it sort of maybe, well, it was not a time where people are willing to hear things, right?
Right.
Like, and now at a point in time where it's sort of like we can look at these things and we can discuss them and we can, you know, once again, I really want to reiterate that just because you like certain things doesn't make you a bad person. You can learn from what you're playing and what you're doing and think critically about it and think critically of why certain things are the reason they are. So one big example I will give is I absolutely love Deadly Premonition, but 100% it has a lot of problems with it. One big one being the character Thomas, who is he's a policeman, but like, irregardless of that, that's besides the point. He is a gay character in this game. And, like, spoilers, but he turns out to be one of the villains. This is not great. There is some sort of drag. And I won't say that Thomas is transgender because I don't think that was sort of the point of it. But I will say that, like, that representation in Deadly Premonition is really bad. And it's not good, and it's a part of the game that I absolutely, like, it hurts me. I don't like it. Despite, you know, being a game that I absolutely very much enjoy aside from it. But there, you know, it still is a part of the game. Once again, I can enjoy parts of the game, but also did not enjoy other parts and think critically about them and be like, you know what? That wasn't a great thing, and I hope we learn from it in the future to be better. That's sort of, you know, the takeaway of anything that you're like, this wasn't great, and you get it, but you can be like, I hope that I can ask for and demand sort of change in our video games that, you know, we see better representation and we see things that, you know, aren't great and we call them out appropriately.
So Deadly Premonition 2 is coming out, and hopefully we will see a lot of the changes happen in its release.
Well, and some by changes, it could be just totally omitting stuff like that. Like, yeah. Parts of that, like Thomas as a character and certain parts of him were sort of unnecessary to the story. It just sort of is, you know, it is being gay as being deviant and evil in this case, which, like, is a trope that you will see in many things if you just sort of take a little step back and look at things with a slightly more critical eye. Once again, I'm not saying you're a bad person for enjoying this. I enjoy Deadly Premonition as a game. I also think there are parts of it that are not great, and I can talk about them and think critically about them.
That's one of the things that we try to keep up on this show is to look at your media with a critical eye.
Yeah.
It does not mean that you can't enjoy it.
No.
There's no rule saying you can't.
Well,
it's just to be aware of
what
is problematic and to strive.
And if we'll acknowledge it.
It. And if you are a creator yourself, to try to
strive to better.
Yeah. Do better.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
that is what we can do at this point. And once again,
us
video
as
games.
Creators.
Well, yeah, I was like, and video games aren't, infallible. They are made by human beings. They are things that are influenced by media, by social things as much as anybody else. So they are a product of what we are as people. So, like, you know, it is a product of us, but also we can be like, yeah, which isn't great. We can do better. That's, you know, bottom line.
And as a show as well, we will also strive to advocate and teach too. And to do better on our end as well.
Yeah, because we can always do better with our things. We can always be more aware and listen more and promote things more that we appreciate and think are valuable. You just bought a itch.io. I never know how to pronounce it. If it's itch.io or itch.io or i.itch.io.
I pronounce it as itch.io.
Yep. So itch.io, which is, how do you, it's itch.io if you want to type it in your browser. But there is a video game bundle for Black Lives Matter. And I believe you can put whatever amount of donation, but the minimum is $5, and you get like a lot of video games.
For $5, you get almost $8,000 worth of games, and these aren't small games either. We have Night in the Woods, we have Celeste, we have, oh man, I had the list up here a moment ago, but
yeah, I was not, well, there's lots.
There, like, is lots. Overland, there.
Minutes, you were saying.
Art School. It's very cool games. Like, they're, it's, yeah. The one I'm looking at here is Lena's Inception, and it looks very much like a Zelda-esque situation that I want to play.
Yeah, it does look like that.
So, it's $5 minimum, and yeah, the reason why I didn't have it on the right page is because it is the Bundle for Racial Justice and Equality. It goes to the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund and the Community Bail Fund. Split 50-50 on that one.
Yeah, and so they made, it's a great deal if you love video games and want to support, like, I would say, I would encourage you to support, and also, hey, you get video games out of it. You can also, like, up the donation as well if you're like, $5 isn't enough for literally every video game that I'm getting. And we own, like, quite a few of these already, but regardless, I'm like, this is a very worthwhile cause, and like, once again, you get some, if you want something, you're gonna get something out of it.
So this sale ends on the 15th, so there's 6 days as of recording this left in this.
Cool.
And that's how long they have going for this fundraiser. I guess it'd be a fundraiser.
They've already made like over $3 million, which is pretty amazing. And once again, that's a great way to contribute. I would also say you can reach out, like, there are, once again, blackgamedevs.com.org. Oh boy. But blackgamedevs, and the hashtag on Twitter, that you can look for and very much see games that are made by black developers, black composers, black artists, black coders. Yeah.
And the black game developers on their Twitter put up a big list of what's available. They have like a whole list of, I think it was like 50 games or so, maybe a bit more.
Yeah, that are already on, like, available. Switch,
on PlayStation 4.
And we were talking about some of them.
Yeah, I actually threw some money onto the Switch so I could get some games. So yeah. Now I can play Oxenfree, which you told me about was supposed to be very, very good.
I've played it, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The other one, yeah, and the Beatdown, Treachery and Beatdown City.
Yes.
I think that was the other one we grabbed. But yeah, I played Oxenfree and I really enjoyed it. I've played it several times. I really, what is it, Night School is the game developer, I believe?
Yes.
Because I was like, it's something about night, something about the dark. and I really enjoy, the art style is really beautiful. It's a sort of a little horror-y game, but it's not like extra spooky. It has a lot of neat mechanics, though. I liked it a lot.
So we do have a whole schwack load of games to revisit and new games to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So go and check out itch.io. They have the $5 sale going on.
Yeah. So, another thing that I think we sort of want to talk or go forward is maybe even a little bit of game history, or just pointing out things in video games that are like very specifically blatantly racist or, you know, transphobic or maybe homophobic, and just sort of like, these are things in video games that, once again, we enjoy video games, don't mistake that, but I think it's important to sort of learn history and where things come from, so that once again we don't make mistakes like this. The sort of the first one that I want to sort of talk about, like, before we get into talking about what video games that we have played this week, very specifically is, I think, a big one, is Pokemon.
So we want to talk about Pokemon, which does have its own...
Well, there are very specific things that are, like, I would say that the Black community have pointed out within Pokemon, and Pokemon has changed them to an extent. The very first instance of this, which is, I would say, it was never good and it always felt weird to me, was the Pokemon Jinx. And Jinx is very blatantly based off of blackface, which is when one person who is not black paints their face to look like black, and this was, or look like a black person. And this was common in a thing called minstrel shows. And it was continued out throughout, like, up until black actors were actually allowed to have black roles, whereas white people would continually take those roles and, you know, paint their faces black. It's obviously, like, very, like, it's gross, it's egregious, it's, like, it is stripping a human of their humanity. Jinx is, unfortunately, she was a character or a Pokemon that is based off of this.
And they did, once change they were, yeah, when they were alerted of this, they changed her color palette, so...
Well, here's the thing, I don't want to say they were alerted to it, they knew what they were doing. Like, it's a misnomer to say they were alerted to it, because they knew when they created the character Jinx what she was based off of.
But I don't think they realized just how much it was a problem to North American audiences until North American audiences were like,
that's apologizing for a racist stereotype, which I
definitely
don't
agree
with.
Definitely not
intended to be. Well, I would just say, like... People knew exactly what it was, and, like, Nintendo knew exactly what it was representing, and I don't think you can't excuse it either way and be like, oh, they didn't know, or they didn't realize the implications, because, regardless of that, they did change her to be purple, like, her skin is now purple instead of black. I would say, regardless, the character Jinx is not, it's still not great, and it is something, like, Pokemon does need to, Nintendo does need to sort of look hard at, you know, some of their characters and some of their creations, because they are racist stereotypes. Like, Jinx is very much a racist stereotype. And Pokemon is, once again, a thing that should be for everyone. Video games are a thing that are accessible and should be accessible to everyone. There shouldn't be a real divide in playing video games. Like, that's silly. Like, another sort of one that I want to point out is sort of, this goes sort of hand in hand with Pokemon, but in, maybe it's not necessarily Nintendo's fault, but, like, Pokemon, goes to Pokemon fans, and I'm not going to say them as a whole, but Pokemon fans, when the character of Nessa came out with the recent Pokemon, they were very racist towards her as a character. And another thing that I would see often is she would be whitewashed, which is another problem within sort of communities with black, indigenous, people of color characters a lot, that people will purposely make the character... Well, I don't want to say purposely, but they definitely don't appreciate or understand the reason why a character is the skin color their skin color is, and therefore will lighten it. This is the thing that's happened. This is a thing that is in practice in real life. There are skin bleaching creams, like, to lighten your skin. And it's just, like, once again, this is just, it points to a larger systemic racial problem. Like, I'm pointing this out to be, like, we're a little more unapologetic. Like, this is stuff that happens to this day, right? And it's just, it's not great. It should be pointed out. It should be brought to attention. Like, we can still enjoy video games. We can still be like, I love the colors. I love how fun this game is. But we can also be like, boy, the Pokemon fandom and Pokemon as a whole really treats its black characters really poorly. Like, we can do both. I can have it both ways. I can, you know, like, I can care about more than one thing. That's the beauty of life, right?
Right. So just be aware that this is happening.
Yeah, and, well, it's just, once again, it's a thing to be aware of, and, like, to, if you're, like, curious about it, there are historical contexts for everything, right? Like, So it's just important to be aware. Like, you know, we're playing Tomb Raider, right? Like, and that's the thing. And we can point out that Lara Croft is a white lady who is going to indigenous places and grabbing stuff.
And taking artifacts away from these places.
And that is what she's always done.
Yes.
And, you know, we can point out and be like, hey, wait a sec, that's not great, right? Like, that's not... Yeah, I can still be like, Lara Croft games are fun. I enjoy shooting the arrows at bad guys, you know, like, and finding stuff. And I think they do a lot of sort of neat research in these games, whereas they do, you know, look at legit artifacts that are from these time periods. Like, there is, you know, I can be like, I like these parts of this. Credit where credit's due on certain things. But Lara Croft also... She is a grave robber. Like, Tomb Raider is a fancy word for grave robber. So
that is exactly what she's doing.
But once again, I could still be like, it's still a fun game. Mm-hmm. Like, Lara Croft, I will say, don't really appreciate the character changes that they've done since the very first game of the reboot. And that's just me. You know, I can dislike it, but, you know, I just, Lara Croft, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Lara. So, yes, that is actually what I began playing on the weekend.
You're playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Since we now have PlayStation Now, I can go and play this game.
Yeah.
Even
though we had a physical copy from our friend for a very long time.
I thought that was the second game we had.
Nope. We did have that one, which I beat. And that was where I was like, why is Lara so mean?
I thought this was when she was in Russia doing the Russian stuff.
Yeah.
That's the second game.
Yeah.
That's the game that we had.
Yeah.
This is the third game.
This is the third one.
We had the third game?
This is the third. Yeah, we did.
Oh, geez. Well, apparently I did not realize we had the third Tomb Raider,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So I started playing this on the weekend because I wanted something just away from Persona for a little while. And I am having a lot of fun playing it. It handles just the same as the other two. The UI is not as nice as the first game I found.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is a bit weird.
It's a style choice that I'm not the, like, I do think the other ones are better. Once again, the UI that I think for leveling up as the neatest is Far Cry 3 with the tattoo system.
It's a very cool system.
But, like, you know, we can't all have that system because it's thematically built into the game, right? Like, there's a story reason for it as well. Yeah.
So
anyway,
I'm finding with this one where you had to upgrade all your little skills, like you're jumping better, you're using your pickaxe to do cool things. It's already kind of in this already. All the upgrades aren't major. They're just, you get to swim a bit faster, you get to see animals a bit better. It's not like actual physical improvements.
It doesn't, I like, and personally, I don't think the game looks that good. Like, it just kind of looks bland. Like, it has that AAA grayness to it, you know what I mean? That brown.
This is another trope that we can look at is brown is realness. So when you have like a brown setting, it's supposed to be more real, but it does end up washing things out quite a bit, making things hard to see.
Well, and I mentioned because there is sort of like a thing you can take that makes you see things a little brighter. Like, it's literally for like a couple seconds, but for a couple seconds it looks beautiful, and I'm like, oh, look, if we just like up the brightness the vibrance on this a little bit, we could have a really pretty looking game.
And yeah, this sort of herbal upgrade is supposed to prevent jaguars from catching you by surprise.
Oh, there we go.
But I've only met like two jaguars, and one of them was a mini boss. I'm sure there's going to be another one at some point.
Like, the one that I also think of, like, you can have a AAA game that is, you know, it looks beautiful, like, open world kind of thing. Even the Lara Croft's not open world, but Horizon Zero Dawn it was beautiful.
It was
almost all the time.
Game.
Yeah, like, and visually, like, they really didn't have any of those ugly browns or, you know, like, just the grays that wash stuff out. It was often bathed in sort of a sunlit, like, sunset purples and reds. It was really great and brilliant.
And the brightest of the bright colors were all with, like, the mechanical features or, like, robot bits. It's not like you have to be coated in mud all the time.
Yeah.
And that's another thing is that with Lara's costume changes, She can be looking like she was crawling through a muddy obstacle course, but her hair is pristine. That girl got a hair regimen that I cannot follow. You don't.
You're like, well, it's like there's something, like there's wax. It's just wax.
Yeah.
So just all the mud just doesn't stick on.
So for some reason, the last two games did not get the same love as the first one, which is unfortunate because...
Well, it makes, in a way, it sort of makes sense that they would work maybe harder on the first one. In a way, I don't know, but that doesn't mean that they would, as a proof of concept. Because I feel there are things about the first one that aren't great, but at the same time, it's still fun. Like
it was an excellent game.
Like, I like the story. Lara is very sympathetic in the first one.
She's young. She's nice to everybody. She's trying to maintain peace among her crew members.
And then in the second one, she's so mean. And that really, like, it did really sort of spoil the game for me. Because I was like, Lara's just sort of, like, mean now. Like, she was kind of cool before. And now she's sort of, like, in between where maybe she's a little less harsh. But she's still not, like, a polite person. Like, it feels like not the same character from the first game. Right? Or not even an inkling of the same character. And that's sort of where I was like, hey, what? That's why I enjoyed the first one, because I thought Lara's characterization was pretty good.
You know, being gritty does not mean being impolite, Lara Croft.
Well, I just, like, she's a little rude to, like, the guy. He's very, like, her companion, Jonah, who is very nice. And Jonah is, like, a really endearing character. And I like that they did keep Jonah throughout this as sort of Lara's companion. But yeah, it's just weird. I wish Lara was not mean to him. So, just a little nicer. She's dragging him all around the world, and she caught, like, the plot of the game is that you've caused the apocalypse. The apocalypse is about to happen, apparently.
And there is a point where Jonah calls Lara out for
being mean.
For being mean and just sort of not concentrating on the problems at hand, where she's like, I'm causing the apocalypse and we need to leave right now to go and stop this. And Jonah has to stop and say, no, there's people in trouble right here, right now. After we take care of this problem, then we'll take care of the bigger problem.
Yeah, see, I don't like this. I don't like this Lara Croft, because Lara Croft was sort of originally, you know, she was really, you know, about, she was empathetic to things. And she lost that, and I don't know, and she lost it, like, somewhere between the first game and the second game, because in the second game, she is also mean, and I'm just like,
oh, Lara. Yeah.
I missed the part where something happened to Lara that she got really mean. Like, there's sort of, in the end of the first game ends really sort of nicely. Like, you know, like, it doesn't end with, like, a huge twist that will break Lara's heart and turn her evil or mean sort of thing.
Yeah. So, Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I will keep playing it along. Well, there's gameplay things I like about it, even if the story kind of loses me. And I already hit one major glitch in this where I can't even solve a quest.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a glitchy game. Like, there's a weird lack of polish on certain things that you can really see in certain areas.
I triggered a side quest where I had Lara go into a hut and she started talking to the air.
Yeah.
And I thought, is this part of the story? Am I missing something? Am I going to figure out she's talking to a ghost at the end?
Yeah.
Because mystical stuff happens in this. No, yeah. Apparently there was supposed to be a physical person there who was supposed to have the quest triggered by me finding a little kid's dice and talking to a series of people.
Basically, you can't do the quest because the person is not there, even though you are able to talk with the person, sort of.
I was able to talk to him once. After that, it's just over. On the map. He doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
So,
yeah.
And the reason why I thought this guy was a ghost or something is because his name is Pisco the Dead.
Oh, that's legit. Like, you're like, a ghost is talking to me. Okay.
Yeah, so,
well, and that's legit. Once again, Lara Croft games have always had some sort of, like, supernatural magical element, right?
Right.
There's always been sort of, like, magical statues that move or something.
So I thought this was a legit game thing, and it's not. So, and I can't even go back to an earlier save.
Yeah, well, it auto-saves,
right? Auto-saves.
Yeah.
So, that's Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And you know what? Last week I also mentioned that I beat Monkey Island.
Yeah.
And that was, we've been going through a bit of a Monkey Island
kick. We didn't really talk about it, I guess,
no.
Did we? Monkey Island 2?
We had more important things to talk about.
True. Yeah, Monkey Island. Like, yeah, Monkey Island 2, which I, yeah.
Which I was surprised to find it was the only Monkey Island I knew the ending to. The other ones I did not know.
And it's like a really, like, I guess if you want to spoil it, you can, because it, I feel it is almost irrelevant to the entire game. Like, that's the kind of thing, and once again, this is one that I played a lot as a child, and we actually beat this one because our the disc let us beat it, unlike the first Monkey Island.
So, in all the other iterations of Monkey Island, you're dealing with the Ghost Pirate LeChuck. All of them you're dealing with them, but this one you find out the true, identity of LeChuck. And, should I spoil it?
Oh yeah, well he's your brother. Yeah, apparently. Like, once again, this doesn't make sense. And I kind of think they did this because they might have thought they were never making more Monkey Island games.
I almost feel that was the situation because it was right near the tail end of the PC game era. And yes. I almost feel like this is when LucasArts was hitting a bit of a snag when it came to their production and budgeting. And this, like, kind of ducked out of video games for a while.
Yeah, that makes it, you know, it does make sense you say that, because the ending is it's very bizarre, because so basically LeChuck, and I remember it so well, and it terrified me as a child, because you are LeChuck is sort of stalking you through this like underground hallway area, which was also weird because once again, this is a game about pirates, and like you're in jungles and on this ocean, right? And you're in this creepy underground bunker. Anyways, how it ends is you are both kids and your parents have come to get you from, like,
the fun house?
The fun house. There we go. At the carnival.
And, this was a very nerve-wracking part, too. It is! Didn't I have to pass it to you because I was getting frustrated?
It's difficult. And once again, as a kid, it was terrifying to me because, once again, you're sort of in a room trying to get stuff or pick stuff up or do stuff, and then he'll come in and like zap you. And it's funny because he does this in every game. Like, this is sort of a thing that happens for like the last chapter, sort of how you defeat LeChuck is literally is what happens, and then you have to, you know, click a thing and it does it. That it's a point and click. That's how these games work. It's still a wacky ending, because then we watched the third one, because the third one clearly is different. Like, it's a little wackier.
See, and that's what's really disappointing, is now that I've seen the third one and how beautifully it was animated and put together, I'm sad that it's not something we'll get to play.
Yeah, the third one is very, I believe it didn't come out for like, you know, like Steam or anything, because it wasn't that, but it was all hand animated, like hand drawn, hand animated, which is really cool. Like, some of it, there was 3D things for sure, but Guybrush walking around, him talking, all the characters, all the cutscenes, it's all 2D. It's really well done. Like, if you want to watch it, it's available on YouTube, all that. It's really good. It's neat to watch.
It's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then there's the Telltale ones, which I think we should try to find at some point.
They're available. So I like them.
But right now, I have 1,002 games literally now to play and work my way through. So again, go and check out the Itch.io sale fundraiser. It's $5 for thousands of games, and they're still adding more artists and developers as they go along.
Nice.
So it is well worth the money and goes to two amazing causes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that's everything we got for this week. And
So Black Lives Matter and all cats are beautiful.
And from going forth, we will do our best to advocate and educate.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Keep slacking.
Bye.